نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم. In this entire world, the thing that is most valuable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is Deen. On the day of Qiyamah, those who will bring, Allah Ta'ala will grant them the greatest reward. Allah will make this Deen the means for their salvation and entry into Jannah. So this is the purpose for Allah Ta'ala creating this entire universe, that how this Deen can be alive and how this Deen can be upheld in the entire world. If you look at the lives of the Anbiya and the lives of the Sahaba, the lives of the Awliya, all was directed towards fulfilling the commands of Allah, upholding Deen wherever they were in the world. And this is most beloved to Allah, most beloved. If you look at the hadith, or all the Mubarak ahadith regarding the virtues of Ramadan, we find that in the hadith, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the aspect of Iman. Man qama Ramadan imanu wa ihtisaban. Man saama Ramadan imanu wa ihtisaban. Everywhere the aspect of Iman is featuring. The one who stands up in the Taraweeh Salah with Iman, and hope of receiving reward from Allah. The one who fasts in the month of Ramadan, again with Iman and hope of receiving. So this aspect of Iman, what it means, the ulama explain, one is that you do this ibadat as a believer. Inshallah you'll receive reward. Without Iman you can't get anything. It can be the best of deeds you're doing, but void of Iman, it will not carry any weight in the sight of Allah whatsoever. And another meaning of this hadith is that action is motivated by Iman. So one is a person, he knows about Roza, he knows about standing up in Tahajjud Salah, standing up in Taraweeh Salah, he knows about this virtue, he knows about that virtue. But that action is not motivated and powered with that Iman that is required. As a result, we find the month of Ramadan comes, the person will be performing his salah at home. Is that his Iman is not so powered, his Iman is not so strong, his Iman is not so motivated that it can bring him to the masjid and perform that salah in the way Rasulullah wanted us to perform it, with jamaat. 27 times jamaat, and the reward of the masjid even greater. So this aspect of Iman must be the deciding factor. It must be the dynamic force that will motivate action. How much of Iman is in it? Today people know a lot, but how much of action is in that knowledge, that is questionable. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the one who usurps the wealth of the orphans, he's ill. Someone passes away, and some family member takes advantage of the estate, and then all young children that they can't stand up for their own rights, defend themselves, so the person steals all the money. So when he's stealing that money, he's a believer also, but yet we find that that knowledge is not powered with that level of Iman that can make that man stop what he's doing. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا وَسَيَصْلُونَ سَعِيرًا. Allah says, those who usurp the wealth of the orphans, they are actually eating fire in their bellies. And they're going to soon enter the fire of Jahannam. It's like a person who's got dynamite, you know, he's got that dynamite. That's what this man got. It's just, you know, little time it requires for that thing to explode. You see, one person, maybe he's the manager of the bank. Manager of a bank. Bank is running on interest. He's a believer also, bank manager. So he comes to give the bayan about interest. So this type of bayan won't impress anybody. You see, but if it was so important to him, he shouldn't be there. So what's the difference between his bayan and his action? Is that action is not motivated by Iman. He's got that words, he's got that knowledge, But that knowledge doesn't have that level of iman that is powered and is motivated. As a result, we find that it's stopping him. So we all know that zina is haram. We all know that, you know, to speak to a woman, a non-mahram woman, is not permissible. To look at her is not permissible. To listen, we all know it. What is the reason that now the ummah is at a decline and we're not progressing so much? Is that that level of iman that is required is not found. Now Hazrat Mu'ayyas Rahmatullah Alayhi was very, very concerned about this. Is that that level of iman should come alive in deen, should come alive in the ummah, to such an extent that that iman must drive them to fulfill every command of Allah in the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted us to fulfill it. At the end of the life of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi was very, very ill, very, very ill. And Mawlana was so ill, he couldn't speak also. He could speak. But he was at that point in his life that he was so close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa. The love of the Nabi of Allah was so great that if Hazrat Mawlana closed his eyes, he could see Rasulullah sallallahu. This is a level called Sahib-e-Huzuri. The way the Buzug, it is at that point that his connection, his link with Allah's Rasul is such. He is with the Nabi of Allah. Some awliya, Allah Ta'ala grant them this blessing in the dream. Nearly all the time, nearly every night, all the time they're seeing Rasulullah, they're with the Nabi of Allah. Allah. And some in a wakeful state also. Allah grant me and all of us with this special ni'mat and keep it with us till the end. So at that moment, Mu'ayyas Rahmatullah's concern was how that iman and deen can come alive in the entire world. Man, I was so worried. The fikr of Rasulullah was his fikr. The concern of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was his concern. So anyway, Mawlana was so ill, so they had to call some doctors to see the Buzruk, to attend to him. So Mawlana told the Khadim, see, when these doctors comes, about two, three doctors are coming, you must position them, make them sit in such a way that I will be able to give them dawat before they check me up. See, I don't want them only to come here and not benefit. Let me speak Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words. Inshallah, that must have, this must be the reason for them coming. The reason is not that I must benefit from the little dunya knowledge that they have. No, they must take deen. Mawlana didn't regard himself to be better than anybody. So he said, concern that love. So those doctors came and then they sent them. Mawlana came and then he gave the dawat. Gave dawat. Now what he told them, you see, from all the anbiya, which Nabi Allah Ta'ala granted the knowledge of curing the ill, the sick, the one who had leprosy, born blind, he could pass his hand, he get sight. Which Nabi? He said, Isa alayhi salam, that was Nabi Isa alayhi salam. So he said, yes, you understand. So the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala blessed him, Allah gave him a lot of knowledge, this Nabi, he said. But the knowledge of doctory, medicine, as though he had the pinnacle, he has the highest level. So he said, yeah, yes. But Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayhi, what knowledge was even greater than that knowledge? Which knowledge was even greater? The knowledge of deen that Allah gave him was greater than this knowledge to cure the ill, the sick, the leper, the born blind. It was, the knowledge of deen was even greater than that. He came with the Injil, the Bible. He came with this kitab, he came with the Shariat. So, before this knowledge of doctrine that Allah gave him to cure people, and the deen that Allah gave him, which one was greater? He said, no, this one was greater. This one. The knowledge of deen was greater. So Mawlana said, this knowledge of deen was far greater than that. It's far greater than that. But the knowledge which Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, the Quran, his Shariat, his Sunnah, it came to abrogate Hazrat Isa alayhi salam's kitab, his Shariat, and all the previous Anbiya. And this will remain till the day of Qiyamah. So in front of the knowledge of this doctrine, the knowledge of Rasulullah sallam, where does this stand? This is nowhere. Because if this year is nowhere before the knowledge of Isa alayhi salam, and the knowledge of Rasulullah sallam came to abrogate the knowledge of Isa alayhi salam's deen and everything, then this year doesn't stand a chance at all. So Mawlana told him, alhamdulillah, you're benefiting people by this doctrine, you're benefiting. But understand that this is not the greatest wealth of a mu'min. The greatest wealth of a mu'min is this deen. So you should now take this deen from me. to the folk. Mana told them this. And they really benefited. After Mana, they checked Mana up, Mana went. So the Khadim, so these two doctors told the Khadim that we don't know where this Buzruk got the strength to speak, because he's so sick, a man like this, he's unable to speak. You see, the divine assistance of Allah is with him. Divine assistance of Allah. So this is the greatest favor of Allah, the greatest ni'mat is deen Allah has given us. When a person is granted a favor, then that favor demands appreciation. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask us that we fulfill the appreciation of this favor. Say, a father, he gives his son a car. A father, he gives his son a house. A father, he gives his son whatever his son requires. Now what does he want to see after that? He wants to see appreciation. So imagine that son, he takes that car, he goes to wrong places. He smashes that car. So the father will feel happy. One is that son comes and says, I appreciate the favor. So one is verbal appreciation, but in action, the father also wants to see. So if we are appreciative toward this favor and ni'mat of iman, of deen, that Allah Pak had granted us, then the way to fulfill this here is that we love deen. We love deen. We practice deen. We pass on deen to the entire ummah. And this on the day of Qiyamah will be very pleasing to Allah and Rasulullah. Mention that this one incident, and we'll terminate, we'll conclude. There was this one Buzru, his name appears in the hadith. His name was Abdul Aziz ibn al-Majishun. Very great muhaddith, Abdul Aziz ibn al-Majishun. So, Ajib's incident passed away. What he passed away. So they brought him for ghusl, and as they're giving him ghusl, they see that there's some movement in his feet. This movement in his pulse. So he said, this man is alive, he's not dead. How can we just bury him? So he said, they checked him up, everything, called the doctors. There's the signs of life here. So okay, let's wait. So they, after little moments, after some while, again, there's no motion in his body, no sign of life. So they said that, okay, let's wait. Following day, they brought him for ghusl. Again, when they give him ghusl, again, the same movement. See, this man is alive. We can't just bury him. After a little while, again, all the movement ends, motion ends, pulse also, no reading. Second day. Then on the third day, when they brought the body for ghusl, again, the same thing happened. So they delayed it. On the fourth day, then while they giving ghusl, again, there was some movement, and then he woke up. So this man actually was confirmed dead, because he was no. And then again they saw life, and again dead. And so on that third day when he woke up, he told him, I'm feeling very hungry. Get me some food. I want some roasted barley. He even told him, some roasted, I want to bring this, I want to eat. So they brought this food to him, ate that food. He said, please tell us what's happening here. You know, you're dead or alive, what's happening? So he said, okay, I'll inform you, I'll tell you. He says, actually, Malakul Maut came and he extracted my ruh, took my soul. And I saw that my soul, it rise till the first sky, permission was sought, the doors were open, permission granted, second sky, again permission sought, third sky. Right, when he came before Allah on the seventh, again above the seventh sky, as the hadith of Rasulullah also mentioned, when a person passed away, permission is granted for a believer, and he comes before Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's arsh. Then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, now bury my servant, take him to his grave, and if he's a good person, then let him rest in peace. So my soul came, so Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said, why did his soul be extracted? He still got time in the world, take him back to the world. Now, there are many examples of people who came back from the dead. This is against the general principle, but there are examples in the Quran also, in the Hadith. So anyway, Allah Paki Hukam, take him back to the world, he still got so many years, so many months, and so many days to live. You know, my ustad before, Mawla Yusuf Mutala, Rahimullah, he got married and at the age of about 50, and he wanted to take a second wife, because he wanted male issues, he wanted a boy, baby, he wanted a male, he only had female issues. So Hazrat Mawlana wanted, and he was informed in some way, or he came to know that he will not get a male from his wife. So at that time, he was going to get married again. So Mawlana mentioned, I was concerned that how much more time I got in my life to live. I want to get married again, I'm already 50. So he said, at that time, one student of the madrasa had seen a dream, and in the dream he was told, tell Mawlana, he's got so many years, 27 years, so many months and so many days. So Mawlana was surprised, he told the student in the Dora Hadith, this is a dream that was seen, inshallah I'll get married. And exactly, you know, that before Mawlana's death, before Mawlana passed away, he said, according to the dream, my time is close. And Mawlana passed away accordingly. So this Ghusl Mahdi Shun, he was informed, this is how many years, how many months, how many days we got. Anyway, as the soul was coming down, so he's giving this incident, this Abdul Aziz Manshin informing the people when he, you know, regained his state of consciousness, or he came back to life. So he said, as my soul was coming, I met Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I came to one point, and I met the Nabi of Allah. And on his right, Abu Bakr Siddiq, on his left, Hazrat Salman. But in front of him, there was another person seated right in front. Nabi Sallam brought the person very close. So he asked, oh Nabi of Allah, he had the honor of speaking to Nabi Sallam. Oh Nabi of Allah, who is this person you brought so close to you? I see Hazrat Abu Bakr on the right, Hazrat Umar on the left, right in front. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that this is Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahimullah. So he said, oh Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar, why you put them on the side and you brought him closer? Is he closer in rank and in position and maqam and status than them? Is he higher? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar are the highest. But I am honoring this person because Allah Ta'ala has honored him. Allah Pak. So he explained, he says, you see, this person, Umar Abdul Aziz, he lived in a time where the sunnah and deen was being destroyed in the world. He had to fight against heavy, heavy odds to uphold deen, to bring deen alive. In the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq as Umar radiallahu anhu, it was still the door, it was still the era of Sahaba. So maybe they also had great challenges, but they had the support of the Sahaba, they had the force of deen, all that was with them. It was the golden era of Rasulullah. So they had all that to their credit. He didn't have all that. He stood up against the superpowers of the time and he went against the grain. He went to see that my sunnah and my deen is alive in the world. As a result, Allah is so happy with him. Allah is so happy that in honor of him, I am commanded to honor him also. Though Hazrat Abu Bakr Umar radiallahu anhu, their status is even higher than his. That's why. So we learn from this that the one who will honor this deen, Allah will honor him. He will be the greatest person. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will give him the highest maqam. It's mentioned that one father, his son passed away in a battle as a shaheed. So the father used to see his son every Thursday night. Every Thursday night, the father used to see his son. And used to wait for Thursday night to come, I'll see my son in the dream. Allah honored that father every Thursday night. One Thursday night, the father didn't see his son in the dream. So the following Thursday night, he saw his son. He said, Beta, you never come last week to see me. So he said, last week, Thursday night, was the time when Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz passed away. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Anbiya, Rasulullah, the leader of all Anbiya, and all the Anbiya, Allah commanded all the Sahaba, Allah commanded all the Awliya, to go and receive Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Rahmatullah Alayhi, and bring him to the hereafter. Why? Because he honored deen. He preserved the sunnah of Rasulullah, what he did. So Allah Pak was so happy, that yeah, Rasulullah, all the Anbiya, all the Sahaba, all the commanded. So the son said, that's why I had to also go with them. I couldn't come to visit you. So we understand that this work of da'wat and tabligh, Allah Ta'ala give us also tawfiq of upholding it and fulfilling the haqq of this year. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillah.